Galatians. We're going to be starting with just the first part, chapter 1. You know, before I get into God's word this morning, why don't we go to Him in prayer? I always want us to kind of recenter and just have Him in front. Father God, Lord, we come to you this morning and we want to meet with you. We know that we are not in the throne room right now, but we know that you're returning and we know that you're coming back to bring us completely to fulfill what you've talked about in your word, and that one day we'll see you face to face, but we know that right now your Holy Spirit is with us, that you are present here when two or more gather, that you're in this room. So Lord, I pray that as you inspired Paul to write this letter to the church of the churches of Galatia, Lord, that you had a message for the people. And Father, you have a message for us. You're speaking to us through your holy word. So Father, I pray that you'd prick us with your Holy Spirit, that you'd move us, stir in our hearts so that we could get a glimpse of your heart. We could get a glimpse of who you are this morning, that we'd worship you in truth and in spirit. Father, I pray that you'd speak through your word, and speak through me as we look at you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I've been sharing with you now for a few weeks about Christopher Yuen coming in a couple weeks. He'll be here in 2 weeks. And I've shared a little bit about his story with you over the past few weeks. And actually, we'll hear him talk, at least on video, at the end of the service. All of us will go into the Chinese minister, and we'll get to hear kind of a clip of him so you can kind of see what his story is, him telling a little bit of his story about being, you know, a drug mover and living for a number of years in a sexually promiscuous lifestyle. But one of the things I've noticed with Christopher, I talked with him last week, and I went on his website, and one of the things I noticed on his website is that he has, you know, you go to his website, ChristopherYuen.com, and right under his name, it says, undeserving grace. And I was talking with him this past Friday, and he told me, he's like, you know, Brady, what really transformed me, you know, from living in the way that I was before I came to know the Lord, really was not like the morality. It really was not like, you know, I was living in a lifestyle where I was living a sexually promiscuous lifestyle, and no one came to me and said, "Hey, Christopher, I've got some. There's six passages, basically six parts of the Bible that talk about homosexuality. I'd like to share those with you so that you can know what the Bible has to say about that." It was not that at all. He said, "Brady, no one ever came to me with those. It was more, he said, what began to change, what drew me to Christ, what drew me to God was His grace, was His love, was His care." It was the beauty of God showing Chris who Christ was that began to move in Chris's heart, that began to change him. Grace was what began to change Christopher's heart. And I bring this up, and again, we'll get a little bit more of his story this morning from him. But I bring up God's grace to you and the beauty of His grace Because that is a major theme in the book of Galatians, the book that we're going to be looking at this, they're going to be walking through this fall. You see what is happening? I want to give you just a brief background for the churches in the area of Galatia, is that a group of people are coming in and teaching these churches false doctrine. These churches started out great. Paul went to these churches and shared the gospel. They started out well, walking with Jesus Christ, understanding what the gospel was. And basically, a group of people afterwards came into this area, to these churches, and began to say, yeah, you know what? Jesus is good. He's good. He does forgive sins. But if you truly want to be part of the way, that's what they called it back then, if you want to be part of the way, if you want to have true conversion, there's some other requirements from the law of Moses that you need to follow. So he's like, there's Christ, and then there's a couple other things that you need to be doing as part of your conversion of knowing him, okay? And the thing is that the Galatians were actually beginning to believe this, right? So they were like, so what you're saying then, as these people came in, is that Christ, he's on the cross, he was born, he lived a life, he lived a perfect life, he was died on the cross, he was raised from the dead, and if we believe in him, and then there's also a couple of extra things that we do, that's how we know Christ, that's how we have access to heaven. And they begin to believe this. And Paul says in this letter, as he writes to them, he says to them, no, do things because, not because I want you to do things, not because you have to. A lot of times in our Christian life, and sometimes it's like there's a part of us that feel like, you know, maybe because I'm supposed to, there's supposed to things that maybe I'm supposed to be doing as I walk with Christ, and the Bible talks about what it means to walk with him, but there's sometimes we get this impression that in order to be a Christian, in order to have a true faith, that there is some things that we must be doing. And Paul is saying, this is not the case. This is not the case at all. You should be doing things not because you must, not because your walk is not because you must be doing things, it's because you want to do things. It is because you've experienced something given to you. And now you're like, why wouldn't I want to walk with Christ? Why wouldn't I want to love others? Why wouldn't I want to share God's word? Why wouldn't I want to go to church and be with God's people? I want to do this. Christopher Yuen, I talked with him last week, and he said that what he does, he's an instructor. He says, I'm an instructor at Moody Bible Institute, and what I do is I have classes on Tuesday and Thursday, and he says I teach a kind of a sophomore level class on the Bible, and he says I enjoy that, but really, he says I have Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, not off, but I save those times so that I can go and tell my story. And not just tell my story, but I connect my story with God's story. And it's not because, Brady, it's not because, you know, I feel like I need to, or I feel like I have to. It's like, because I've experienced a life change, because I've experienced Jesus Christ in my life, I want to go out on almost every weekend, I talk with his family, his mom and dad. His mom kind of arranges his travel schedule. Almost every weekend, he goes out to different churches, and he shares what God has done in him. And he shares about the person who is transforming him. And he's like, I go out, I fly someplace or go out every weekend because I just cannot hold it inside. He's like, I want people to know what has changed me, what has given me new hope, and new life. And so I want us to take a look at Galatians, because much of what Paul will say is like the Christian life is not about, it's not about duty. It's not about trying to make our way to God, trying to be good enough for God. It's about what God is doing and what God has done and what He's given to us. Let's take a look at what Paul has to say in Galatians, starting in chapter 1, verse 1. He says this: Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me to the churches in Galatia. So Paul starts out, he's like, okay, I'm writing this letter to these churches in Galatia, and he basically says to them, he starts to emphasize who he is. He says, I'm an apostle, Paul the apostle. He emphasizes his apostolic status with the churches in Galatia. I mean, it's the second word in his letter. It is like, Paul, an apostle. And what he's doing is, he's kind of reminding them that Paul is an agent. He is an official representative of Jesus Christ. It's like, my authority is that Jesus, when he talks to the church, he's like, my authority is that Jesus Christ has sent me to you. Remember again that Paul, you know, he had a life before Christ. And you guys remember, you kind of know his life of persecuting the church, of how he had this just hatred for Christians. And how Christ met him on the road to Damascus and said, Paul, he actually said to an Ananias, a guy who he sent to Paul, this is the guy who I am sending to the Gentiles to speak, to preach the gospel. And so Paul met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and Paul understands that it is Christ who met with him on the road and told him, like, I am sending you out to share this message, this gospel message to you, to all those who are not Jews, to the Gentiles. And so Paul is telling this church, because there's these other guys who are coming in and saying, here's a message, here's something else, here's the gospel, but here's part of another message that I want to tell you. And Paul's like saying, you know what, guys? I am telling you that I've met with Christ, and Christ has sent me, and I am telling you that this is the message that he gave to me. I am an apostle, and he has given me the authority to tell you this message. And so you can kind of see right off the bat when Paul says, I am an apostle. I am not sent from men or by any man, but from Jesus Christ himself, that this is the message. Don't pay attention to any of those turkeys over there, because they don't have the message, all right? And he starts off establishing his authority. And so you can kind of see what Paul is doing. And then he says in verse 3, he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. Grace is one of these words that we will see again and again throughout the book of Galatians. We see it later in verse 6. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by grace. Again in chapter 2 and in verse 15, he talks about grace again. So there's this word that we hear in the church often, you know. And I ask people, sometimes when I'm out talking with people, I'll ask them, hey, what does grace mean? What does grace mean to you? You know, and if I ask the average person on the street, you know, I've actually gone out, I'm like, what does grace mean to you? And most people say, I don't know. I think something like love, or people say, you know, grace is like a ballerina. A ballerina shows grace when they dance, you know. Most people haven't really thought about what is grace, okay? Here's what grace is, right? Here's what grace is. Grace is this, okay? Wait, let me just, this is just a, it's a, it's a, it's a gift card. It's just a gift card for $10 to Starbucks. And I'm giving it to Orion, okay? Orion was just sitting there. He was looking through his Bible, just minding his own business. He came, sat down, and really has, you know, like a why Orion? Really nothing. There's nothing that he did. There's nothing that he's going to give me later. I'm not asking him to pay $10 to me later. It's just, I am just here you go. And so I'm like, why him? Why not James? Why not, you know? It's because it's just giving something. It's unmerited favor. Grace simply means just, I am just giving this to you just because. And it's weird. It's like, you know, when we think about giving to someone just because, and I don't know, grace seems to be more focused on the person, the character of the person giving than the receiver, right? It's like, again, Ryan, like, he was just sitting here minding his own business in a chair, and there's nothing under his seat where, like, oh, I want a gift card. He didn't pay for it. There's no lottery. It's just because. It's funny how people respond to grace. You know, again, last summer, some of you were part of this. We went to Shell Station, right? And we were like, hey, you know, in past times, we've gone to the Shell Station to do car washes, and we've done it to raise money for missions trips or whatever, you know? And I said, you know what this time we're going to do? We're going to wash cars. And I don't want us to advertise free car wash. I just want us to put up car wash. And people know that gas station well enough that they drive by there all the time. They see, you know, groups raising funds for cheerleading or the wrestling team or whatever, or missions trips or whatever. And so I said, you know what this time we're going to do is people are going to pull in. We're going to wash their car. And then we're just going to simply tell them, hey, you know what? We're just doing this because God loves you. We just want to give this to you for no other reason than God loves you. And it's funny to watch people when they're given something completely free. Like some people would roll down their window and they would open, you know, like how much do we owe you? And we're like, hey, we just want to let you know that God loves you. And we just want to show it to you. That's it. We're not telling, we don't want to tell you about our church. We just want to let you know God loves you. That's it. And some people are like, you got to take something from me. You know, some people feel uncomfortable when they're like, you just give it to them for free. They're not expecting it. They're like, no, let me at least give you, you know. I'm like, no, really. It's free. Really. We're not asking for anything. It's free. You know, other people are like, so some people are uncomfortable with it. Other people are like, oh, well, that was such a blessing. You know, like, thank you so much. That was so amazing. I thought, you know. Can I give you? No, really. It's free. We're just giving it to you. So some people are like, oh, yeah, totally. I'll receive it. Thank you. Thank you. What a blessing. And there's a couple guys who are like high school guys, and they're kind of goofing around. And, you know, kind of people are watching us as we're washing their car. Sometimes, you know, and these are high school guys, and they're just kind of laughing, and they're goofing around. I don't know, maybe making fun of us or whatever. I don't know what. But they're just talking. And so then I'm like, you know, hey. They roll down the road after we wash their car and dry it off and stuff like that. And I'm like, hey, we just want to let you know, we're just doing this. God loves you, and that's all we want to let you know. And we give them a little card, and there's a couple of verses on it. And they're like, the guy was like, oh, I really respect that, you know, like, you know, I wasn't expecting them. All three guys were like, you know, they pull out money and stuff like that. But it's interesting to watch what happens when people, when grace is shown and it's just given to you, just handed to you. But the thing is, for us, this whole concept of grace, we have to understand this. We have to get this concept. This has to be, I know we hear about this gift that's given to us all the time, but this has to be like, we've got to get this, understand this concept of grace. Because you guys aren't here, you're not sitting in this room because you're extra good or that you've got extra, you're extra special. You're not going to heaven because you've read your Bible more or because you go to church more. You're not going to heaven because you go to the prayer class or because you go to youth group. You're not going to heaven because you do things for Key Club or you volunteer your time or you help at the hospital. You don't do none of that stuff. It is simply God's giving to you. He just basically says, I love you and I'm going to save you. That's it. I'm going to save you. All the junk that you've ever done, all the stuff that you've hidden, you like would be embarrassed. You know, if it was the stuff that you thought of or the stuff that you came in was on this screen, if we could put it up on this screen, all these past days, weeks, months of years of your life, if you're like, oh, if it was up there, I'd be extremely embarrassed. All that stuff, all that junk that you want to hide, that we all know about, that we all have, Jesus says, I'm going to erase that. I'm going to take that. I'm going to take it from you, and I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to pay for that for you. My son has paid it for you. You know, there was a guy at a community college a number of years ago, and a couple of us were going around just sharing this story, just sharing the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age. That's all we were sharing. We were just sharing the story with him about this free gift that's given to you. You can have it. And after we got through sharing it with him, he was like, no way. Like, that's too easy. He had a Catholic background, there are true brothers and sisters in a Catholic background, but many of the times when I interact with those who've come from a Catholic faith, he had a hard time saying, like, are you serious? Are you serious that, like, all we have to do, are you saying that what the Bible is saying is that all we have to do is to believe in this, believe on him alone, and then that's it? That's all we have to do? All my sins will be released? All my stuff that in my background will be forgiven if we just accept this gift, this free grace? He had a hard time with it. And I said, yeah, that's what the Bible says, is that's all that it is. And so for us, I don't know. I think sometimes for us, it's like there's still a part of us that feels like there is something that we must perform, we must do in order to kind of be, to know Christ. And really, the beauty of grace is that it's just that it's that. It is a free gift to you. There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's no righteousness that you can do. There's no good that you can perform or do to gain your way into heaven. And this is why Paul says, the problem is for many of us and for many people, when I talk with people, when I ask people, you know, if you were to die today, why should God let you into heaven? What would you say? And most people will say, well, I tried to live the best life that I could. And I would tell God that I lived a good life. I would tell God that I lived the best life that I could. And And the problem is with that, is that even the world says, like, hey, what's wrong with someone trying to live like a righteous life, you know? The world says, like, hey, what's wrong with being a good person? And there's nothing wrong with being a good person. The only problem with that is that it says that what Christ did on the cross is not sufficient. It says that at the end, I will say to God, hey, look, at least I did this and this and this. That's why I should be in heaven. And it takes away from what God is saying. God is saying, no, it's all about me. It's all me. I did all that work for you. And that's why he says in the end, to rescue us from this present age according to the will of our God and Father, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So we can all say, it is him. It is his. All the glory belongs to him. And that is also why Paul is like, if you look at verse 6, look down with me in your passage. Look at verse 6 where he says, I'm astonished, or in some version says, I am shocked that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by grace. The one who revealed to you that you are in need. The one who revealed to you who Christ is. The one who went to you and said, here you go. Here is free life through my son. I'm giving it to you. You can have it. You can take it. And he's like, I can't believe that you guys are deserting this story, this gospel, this message. I can't believe that you are leaving this and going for something else to have these add-ons to what the gospel is. I can't believe that you're leaving this. He says, evidently, there are some people who are throwing you into confusion or are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But listen to this, verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach the gospel other than the one preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. So Paul says, look, even if I change the message, even if I, Paul, change the gospel from it is Christ alone on the cross and our belief in him that we know and have a life, if I change that at all, let me be eternally condemned. If there is a beautiful angel that comes down and says, hey, here's a message, here's a new message for you, other than what the gospel is that you've accepted in the first place, let that angel be eternally condemned. Verse 9, as we have already said, so now I say it again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what is accepted, let him be eternally condemned. God is telling us something about himself. I mean, it is saying that it is me, it is all my work, all my doing, that you have come to know me. It is all my goodness, all my faithfulness. It is all my love that is the reason why you are even able to see me and know me. I want you to know me, but it is me that's revealing this gift to you. And Paul even says, like, in verse 10, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. This is the message, the gospel message. And this is what we'll hear in 2 weeks, you guys. We'll hear, I want us to know this message every day. I want this message to be fresh in us and lived out every single day, that we were like, oh man, can you believe? Can you believe what has been given to me? Can you believe, like, this gift has been given to me? And how can I walk this out? How can I live in such a way that I'm like, oh, this is the most amazing thing. I can't believe that I, of all people, should know Christ. Let me, I'm going to close us in prayer, and then I'm going to have just some instruction for us afterwards. Let me close us in prayer. Father God, We thank you for, we thank you that you are a gracious God. Lord, it's even your grace that we understand that we need you. Lord, for most of our own hearts, we didn't have any, we didn't desire you at all. We had no wanting for you or no desire. We weren't searching for you or looking after you. But it is you who came seeking after us. It is you who came to find us. And for some in here, you're still showing yourself. You're still pursuing them. And perhaps I just haven't, you haven't, it isn't your timing yet that you've shown yourself. But Lord, we thank you that you are a God who gives us free favor, because you are a God who, you are the God of love. You are the God who initiates. Father, I pray that because we've experienced grace, that we would be dispensers of grace. That because of what we've been given, that our Christian lives would not be lives of compulsion, but lives of excitement, lives of thankfulness, lives of fullness. That we would walk with excitement of knowing you and how you've freed us. Freed us from chains, freed us from our junk. Father, pray for Christopher and his parents as they share their stories and the message. Pray that it might be clear. Pray that people's hearts would be changed. I pray that you'd go before us. And I pray that there might be a few here that, you know, have friends in mind whom that you are already working in, and they just need to hear the message. Thank you that you're faithful. Thank you that you will bring us to the very end. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.